Hey guys, we are back with another podcast episode today. So this is one more book review. The book we have selected is Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. So I've read this book around 7-8 months back, and I really like this book. I really like the concepts in these books. So I wanted to start with the basic question: who is David Goggins?
Okay, so David Goggins was a military SEAL, a Navy SEAL basically, from the US Army. And for those who don't know who David Goggins really is, I will give a prompt idea about who David Goggins is. So David Goggins, as I said, was a Navy SEAL. He went through the Hell Week training for Navy SEALs for 3 times. And he has a world record for the most pull-ups in 24 hours, which is 4,030 pull-ups in 17 hours. He has also ran the Badwater race for 217 kilometers, which is, by the way, the toughest race on the planet. Yeah, the toughest race on foot. Okay.
So even the Hell Week, you just have to go through it once. Yeah. He went through it 3 times in the blazing sun. Yeah.
Okay. So what we want to discuss about this, like, basically we both are very much influenced by this book, Can't Hurt Me. It is one of the very few books which is, I would say, it tops the genre of this self-help book category. So why we say that it has a reason? It is like a documentary for what his life stands upon and what his mentality, what he has developed from right from the abusive father what he had in the beginning, and until the end what he is now. And I think almost we can correlate his mentality with the mentality of Michael Jordan also.
So when did you first listen to, come across...
Can't Hurt Me book.
Not the book, the person, David Goggins.
Well, I have seen so many videos of him on YouTube and even on Instagram, but I never knew him by name. And when I came across personality development stuff, and then I got into this reading books, then I heard about this book, which I basically wanted to buy, but instead of it, I just downloaded from Telegram. And which coincidentally was the best thing I did, because the written format of the book is okay, but the audio version of it, what we get on Audible or even Telegram, it is perfect. I mean, it is so much better than the
basically
written format.
This book is like a podcast.
Yeah.
So he comes in, talks, elbows, and a lot of insights are shared about what the situation was, how the situation panned out, and all of that. So it's very, very interesting. So I came across David Goggins in when I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. So every time when I listen to somebody talking about you have to work out this hard, or you have to do something, whenever anybody's telling me, I think of why is he telling me, what has he done, what has he achieved, just to tell anybody or somebody that he's that person.
What makes him entitled to tell you?
Yeah. So I started wondering, because he spoke so intensely about, and he seemed to have a lot of concepts that were very clear in his head.
Yeah.
And it showed when he talked. So I wanted to know more about what he's trying to say, and how can I understand, how can I get to his mentality. Then I came across this Can't Hurt Me book, and I think it is one of the best books I have read. Yeah.
Same here.
So in this book, there is this book talks mainly about David Goggins' mentality. So what the mentality is you basically never give up. That is the first thing. And secondly, motivation is shit, as he calls it. So what does this mean is, he even on the Joe Rogan podcast, when he came, people were expecting him to say something that will just change their world, and they'll not have to work hard. So basically what he comes and says is, there's no sentence like that, or there's no way you can get to that level other than suffering. And suffering is very, very important in this book, and how he has defined suffering. So in this book, he has had a lot of examples of how he made let's say, a lot of negatives in his life to be positives, right? So, for example, I really like the reflection mirror concept that he explained. So, basically, so whenever he used to go to high school, he used to dress up in a funny way just to impress his friends and anybody around him, because he was more or less the only black guy around.
Mm-hmm.
So he felt entitled to be the Joker,
clown of the class,
because everybody, that was the only way he was getting attention, because he was not that smart in school.
Yeah.
So what he started to do was started having makeovers, having long hair, short hair.
No, he had like one haircut when he like literally like he just comes up with a razor, he shaves off the middle of his head.
Yeah.
He keeps the like side ones.
Yeah.
And like obviously slogging pants. He wears flogging pants and such shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is all he did. And then once he came across the reflection mirror concept. So basically what it is he puts a few notes of what he wants himself to be on the mirror that he said that it was broken completely. So he puts the notes, and if he cannot see himself in the mirror, then he's doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And he does not have to live that life.
Hmm.
So he has to change something.
Okay.
So these small concepts, these are the small concepts that we can also apply, is what I felt when I was reading the book. And that is how the book spoke to me, that he not only gave how his life panned out and how he came to where he is, but he also gave a primitive roadmap of how we can get to where he is, and I like that very much.
Yeah.
So basically when we are talking about his mentality, so we can think of why did he have this mentality. There's one thing having this mentality, but so when you think about, let's say, people like Jordan,
okay,
or let's say Federer, they seem to be competitive from birth.
Yeah.
And we feel that they have some kind of talent, which others don't have, and that is why they are just that.
Okay, like an innate thing, basically.
Yeah.
Mm.
So whenever we think about this innate motivation or something like that, you feel that you cannot get to that level, but what Goggins did was he showed us that it is possible if you follow these steps. And I really like that roadmap that he has put up.
The most I would say the most relatable thing I found in this book is when you find yourself in a zone where you surround yourself with the part when he gets into Navy SEALs, he gets selected into the Navy SEALs, he goes there and he sees the top of the top batch, I mean the cream of the cream, what they say. And when he gets around with them, he hangs around with them, he comes to like a realization which hits him hard, which he says in the book, everyone is as fucked up as me.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has a strong past. Everyone had a strong past from which they evolved and which he can basically resonate with. So how we think about some of the personalities or who we look up to, we think about them like they never have faced anything in their life and everything went the right way for them.
We put them on a pedestal. Yeah. And he says that everybody's fucked up.
Yeah,
but they can hide it better than me.
Right. And that is the quote to quote word what he says.
Yeah.
I also think like the childhood, what he had gone through, the abusive father thing, like the relation with his father and his mother.
Yeah.
And also sculpted him into a very strong individual.
Yeah. And it is so easy for somebody to take it negatively. Right?
Yeah. Obviously.
So
like
you can just blame it on everything that has happened. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not wrong saying that, this is wrong. This happened to me and I don't think it is right.
Achha, yeah. Mm.
So how he turned that around? So abusive father, broke family,
poverty, racism in America.
Yeah.
Okay, abusive father, what he had in the beginning. And also, I would say the lack of, like a motivation in the starting phase of his life.
Yeah.
When he came from a poor family and his only priority at that time was to, keep the food on the table.
Yeah.
At that time. He used to work in the food malls and, like, basically what his work was, like, off a janitor, I would say. So he used to kill cockroaches and dead mice and just dump them from dustbin to dustbin.
Yeah.
In the beginning of his, I would say, life.
Yeah, and he also, his mother struggled very much.
Oh, very much, yeah.
And he had some learning disabilities, which he could not shrug off easily.
Yes.
And in the book, he has mentioned that he had to work 10 times as hard as any other student,
fellow student,
just to get passed.
Right.
So, but the mentality shift comes when he says that once he works 10 times hard, that time he looks at that guy and says, yeah, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a massive turnaround in the book,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how he takes this abusive father relationship,
yeah,
and he learns from it. He does not just say that, yeah, he was a bad person. He thinks, why did he do that? And he thinks about, did he have a hard childhood? And that is what he discovers eventually, that his father had a very rough childhood, and that is why he could not, like, be a good father.
Absolutely.
So when you think about it, everything has a reason. And once you start thinking about why this happened, how did this happen, then you come to realize, oh, does not sound as crazy as it did to me
earlier
before. So even the educational, so he very popularly says that I did not make Goggins by running. I made him by sitting on the table and studying for 3 nights in a row. I think that is massive. Because whenever you think about Goggins, you think about how much muscle he has put up or how many kilometers he runs. So it's very important for people to understand that it is not about the physical strength.
Yeah.
Obviously, it is a bit, but mentality is the basic and that it is the driver of everything.
Correct.
So this is what he has explained in the let's say first overview of the book. Okay. So he has also explained us how do we do it, right? So we know what the mentality is now. We know how it came to be. Now he explains, so he has, I think there are 12 chapters. In every chapter he explains exactly why, how do you get to where he got to. So you can literally apply those tools that he gives you. Okay. So we'll take an example of how to do it and how Goggins tells in the book how to do it. So I think one of my favorite quotes in the book is "callousing your mind."
Yeah.
That is such a massive concept.
Comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Yeah, being comfortable with the uncomfort. And you know it is correct. So even in the book he says that the more comfortable I got, the more uncomfortable my mind got. So I think that is such a massive thing, right? So even I feel that when I'm not working hard, when I'm not my higher self, I feel that, yeah, man, this is not me. This is wrong. Yeah. Something is wrong. And I feel guilty just have food. Because that is the discomfort my mind feels.
Okay.
So the only way to get out of this discomfort is by callousing your mind. And the way to callous your mind is by
Repetition
and working hard, doing what is very hard for you. So even in the book he explains that the faster, the more you go towards the pain, the more it reduces, the less it becomes, basically. And the more you run away from it, the bigger it becomes.
Okay, it applies also for the fears, what you face.
Yeah.
So David Goggins basically endures a lot, and after he has a sustainable, I would say, stamina, and he develops a certain base of endurance, he still fears water. Okay.
Yeah.
And in his Navy SEAL training, what we have read in the book, obviously, he is very afraid of the waters in the beginning, like swimming and going into the water. And afterwards, he, like, I would say, schedules his mind in a such a way that he likes to, he craves for more comfort, I mean, uncomfortable things, okay? So, more and more he comforts for, I mean, he craves for the uncomfortable, the less his fear of the unknown reduces. I mean, obviously, afterwards, we can see in the, I mean, we can read in the book afterwards that he becomes so comfortable in staying in water, he actually surpasses the other fellow Navy SEALs, basically, in his regiment. And also the fact that David Goggins literally reduced almost 106 pounds in 3 months for qualifying for the, you know, the standard weight for I think Navy SEALs is 86 kgs, I heard about. Okay, so in 3 months reducing 106 pounds is not a joke.
Yeah.
And if you go and ask any fitness trainer or anyone to, like, okay, I have to reduce like 106 pounds in 3 months, they will first of all say it is not healthy for your body to, like, decrease your mass in such a, I would say, rapid, you know, in very short span of time. You would obviously get like muscle stretch, stretch marks, and the other, like, downsides of it. But David Goggins doesn't think about the downsides in the beginning of his training regime. Okay, whenever he, I think, there is one incident where he was just in his, you know, the other job of what I told you about in the beginning. He's just killing cockroaches, and he kills a shit ton of cockroaches. He comes back and he just goes and drinks a chocolate milkshake. Okay, afterwards he returns to his home, and he's seeing a documentary based upon the Marines and Navy SEALs. Okay, and he gets motivated and he just runs. Okay, he just ties up his shoelace and he goes for a run. He can't even fucking run for 400 meters. Okay.
Yeah, this is when he was 295 pounds.
Yeah. It's two. I think the highest he has hit is 297 pounds.
Yeah.
How he talks in the Robin show. So, afterwards, so basically, for running for 400 meters, he feels very depressed. He gets back to his home, drinks another chocolate milkshake, and then thinks about it. But at that point, he decides to push through. And then somehow he runs 1 mile. Okay, on the same day. Okay, and afterwards he, like, for the rest of the 3 months, he just trains himself rigorously. And somehow he manages to get into shape and qualify for the SEALs.
So I like how he is. So this is the beginning of how David Goggins got converted into Goggins, right?
Yeah.
So the first day he goes home, he's just tired with his job.
Yeah.
Goes home and he watches a documentary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Watches a documentary, runs for 400 meters. And he's exhausted completely because his joints are aching. He's not run in so long.
Yeah.
And he's massive.
And you can imagine 270 IRS and kilos is like 120 kgs.
So that is too much.
Yeah.
And obviously the body wouldn't take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is, rather than, so he does, like, he feels bad, he starts crying, I think.
Yeah.
He goes back home and then he runs again. When he figures out that running is messing up his knees and ankles, what he does is figures out what is the other way in which I can reduce the muscle, the weight. Yeah. So what he figures out is cycling is a very good option.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what he starts doing.
Okay. Yeah.
So rather than saying that, I could not run 400 meters even, what am I going to reduce 100 kgs?
Mm.
100 pounds? 100 pounds.
Pounds.
Yeah, how am I going to reduce 100 pounds?
Yeah.
Is the question I would have asked myself.
That is the thing. I think the best way to quote it is start before you're ready.
Yeah. So he figures out a way in which he can get in shape as early as possible. Rather than just saying that, this is not meant for me.
Yeah.
This is not my time. Maybe giving reasons basically. So you either have reasons or results. So these are the reasons, and this only came when he started becoming honest with himself.
Right.
Honestly,
he faced the accountability mirror.
Yeah, accountability mirror. Yeah. That am I doing? Am I honest to myself? Am I doing what I am supposed to do? Is this the right way for me? These questions, all of this, I don't know, this way of improving yourself is only applicable to you when you're honest with yourself. If you're not honest, it's all done. Because you can just lie yourself out of it.
Okay, I would say, like, okay, I won't call out any offense against the obese people, but still, if you're happy with, I mean, at least if you're fit and healthy enough, and if you have gained some amount of weight here and there, it's okay, but at least you're staying healthy. But I hate the fact that some people nowadays, like, get entitled to what I'm, like, how I am perfect. That mentality of entitlement, that is very wrong.
Yeah,
is very wrong.
Yeah, I think that is true. That if you are comfortable with what you are, then I don't think you should like start calling out people and saying them, yeah, why did you call me this and that?
Yeah.
If you're comfortable with yourself, just be like that, right?
Right. There is nothing wrong with being comfortable and happy. If it doesn't affect your self-esteem,
yeah,
or your confidence, that's all right.
And that is a part of life, I think.
Yeah.
So, not everybody wants to be the greatest person ever lived.
And see, and there are some things that you really generally can't change about yourself.
Yeah.
But weight, obviously, it is one of them. You can.
Yeah.
You can change how you look, basically. Like, physically, at least, I would say, yeah, like, I have heard ton of, like, excuses. I'm big bone. This is the, I don't know how they come up with this excuse. But still, if you are comfortable with yourself, happy with yourself, and you are just keeping your body healthy, even if you have a proportion of fat, it is okay.
And it is not about how fat you are from the outside. It is about your mentality, how fat your mentality is, how the way you get out of. So we are not talking about people who are obese and they like it. Okay, we are talking about people who say that, yeah, I work out 2 times a day, then I'm fat.
Mm.
It's impossible. You cannot do that. And you want to be somebody and you are saying that you are somebody else. And I honestly hate that too.
Mm-hmm.
So this mentality, this putting a mask on everything you do and then getting offended that, yeah, people are calling out for this.
Yeah.
I think it is wrong.
I think it is bound to happen in the beginning. Okay, so for example, one of my, a bulky friend of mine, he's not like fat, but I would say bulky, okay. So he started coming to gym with me. And some of our classmates started calling him out, like, oh, there is nothing that's going to happen to you. He's almost like 100, 203 right now. And in the beginning, cages. And in the beginning, obviously, they will like point him out and then like start, okay, basically in our society, it is not easy for people to start out with something that is uncommon to them.
Yeah.
For example, working out if you are not fit. Example, starting a YouTube career, it seems conventional and very orthodox to your parents. Starting out any venture that is very like against the norms of the society.
Yeah.
Obviously, it is very like critical in our society to like what you can say.
Do something going against the norm.
Against
the river flow.
Flow.
Against the flow.
Yeah.
So this is what he overcomes after this one. After he runs 1 mile, then 3 miles. This is what he overcomes, and that is a mental shift, a small mental shift that he made. That rather than saying that, yeah, not this time, and I'll quit this time, and let's see the next time. He just did it. Rather than thinking, how can I? When can I? So getting started before you're ready is a great quote.
Yeah.
Right. So after this, he started. So this is how we began. Okay. So he lost around 106 pounds in the next 3 months, and then got into the Hell Weeks. So got into Buds.
Yeah.
And Buds was incredible, as he said. So in Buds he had a lot of concepts. So what
obviously I've not been to that, but what I understand from what he says is that the situations are horrible there.
Yeah.
They want you to suffer as, so they want to find out who is the
weakest of them all.
Yeah, and they want to just kick them out.
Yeah.
So this is so this was where he was, and he started thinking that how can I get the best out of it.
Mm.
So he started creating, let's say, mental rivalries or some kind. So what he did was he started making the villain out of the people who used to train him. So okay. Train him being the people who were what is it called? The people who were looking after the buds, like the trainees, right? Who would give them instructions?
Instructors,
yeah. He started rivaling them. So he started thinking about how can I get into his mind and take his soul.
Taking souls. What the concept of taking souls is a whole new chapter what he's introducing.
Yeah. So basically what taking souls means is do something so bad that he looks into our eyes and he knows that he is hated.
Can't get into his mind.
Yeah.
Can't get into his
mind. Yeah, and he thinks that who is it possible? I gave it everything and Delta is on top of you.
Yeah.
So this is basically taking souls.
Yeah. And he gives an example of this quote which is very famous nowadays on the internet. It says, "Can't hurt what you do."
Yeah.
Basically, what he means is he was a leader of his boat crews. Okay, so there are basically like 4 or 5 boat crews were there assigned, and he used to he was in charge of the boat crew too. And the instructors would used to mentally harass those boat crew members, and out of them all, the boat crew too stood out. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is how you call them. So. What I feel was when you are doing something that is physically tiring, you need a physically stimulating some kind of, I don't know, an alarm. Right. So, for example, what he did was whenever he was facing something like, let's say he's completely tired, drained, what he used to do is start shouting. No, you don't know me, son. You don't know me.
Oh, okay.
And that was massive because he went into that in that phase where nobody could touch him. He was just in some other zone.
Yeah.
And that is what this can't hold a hurt boat crew 2 was about, right? So he tried. He did this for I think all along, but and boat crew 2 stood first after all of this.
Yeah.
So this is. I think this stimulus that he gave by shouting was very important for him just to keep the hopes high.
Yeah.
So
I've heard this video, which is very, very common nowadays, and probably you would have seen it as well. It is from Admiral in the Navy SEALs, okay, and he gives an example. The quote-unquote thing is, you own the day if you make your bed right in the morning.
Yeah.
Obviously, it is a very viral video. You might have seen it. So
we'll attach it in the
descriptions. Correct.
Yeah.
And the other thing I found very interesting about it in the beginning and even in the last, when he mentions about he had an medical condition, ASD, which is basically a hole in your heart. And he did every venture what he did. I mean, the world record of push-ups, the running marathons, I think he has ran almost thousands of miles, and still he didn't that didn't affect his physical attributes. Okay, and I would say after how he gets treated is he gets a helix patched in the heart, and his doctors are amazed at what they see.
Yeah,
because it is such a situation you can be sipping Coca-Cola on your couch and just get a heart attack.
Yeah,
because it is such a condition.
Yeah,
and it was wonderful.
So we talked about running. So running, once he started running, he figured out that there is something called the 40% rule.
40%.
So what 40% rule basically means is when you are tired, when you think you have given your 100%, that means you have just reached your 40%. So why does this happen? He did not know, but that is what he observed in himself. When he was running a marathon for 100 miles, it was a 100 mile marathon, right?
Okay, the one which was for a child of the marathon.
Yeah. He was tired at around...
San Diego.
He was tired around in the 40th mile. Mm. And he was completely out. He had nothing. So he just lay on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then something hit him. Some inspiration from inside hit him. And he started running again. He started walking initially, then started running. Yeah. Then started taking up a lot of speed.
Mm.
Okay. So after it was finished, he had broken every bone in his leg, first of all.
Yeah.
After that, he had no nails on his foot.
Mm.
Okay. He was completely drained out. Okay. And he did not know anything. And he could not walk to the hospital even.
Mm.
He had to be ambulanced there.
Stretched
there. So, basically, what it means is from 40 miles to 100 miles, that is 60 miles he ran when he felt that he had given everything.
He had broken up his tibula and he wrapped around his, what was it? Duct tape.
Duct
tape and he ran for 100, I mean completed 100 miles.
That is what he had learned in Buds.
Yeah.
That is what he had done in Buds. Right. So this is how 40% rule is basically means. So I was doing some research about what 40% rule was. So what I discovered is that 40% rule exists as an emotion right now.
Mm.
Emotion being, when you are tired, your brain sends a signal that you are tired because our brain is, I think it has a, we still have brain of a caveman.
Mm.
And what cavemen were good at was fleeing. Right?
Okay.
If they saw a tiger, they had to run away. There is no other chance of them surviving if they could not do that. So that became an instinct. So the brain did not allow them to expend more than 40%.
Yeah.
Because whenever there was some threat to their tribe or to themselves, they should have the energy to run away. That is why this trigger was set by the brain. So right now we don't need this trigger, right?
Yeah.
So Goggins did not know this then.
Mm.
He figured this out after he completed his 100 miles. So it's a great example of do it before you're ready.
Yeah.
So this is amazing. So do you think...
One thing that I can correlate it to is example we should use. Every car has a governor.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is the job of this instrument or the part of the car which is called governor to, you know, access the... basically, if a car... If you remove the part called governor, your car can basically like run the speeds that you can't imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not a standard value, but your car can actually run at the speeds what you haven't like experienced yet.
Yeah.
If you remove the governor part. The same way, he just analyzes the... correlate the brain with it. Okay, so the governor what we have in cars is the brain what we have, and the brain signals you to stop at a certain point of time just to not to overdo or get tired in a very just basically not to just run off.
Yeah.
Okay. Afterwards. So he thinks when you push your limits and actually caress your mind for a repeated amount of time, then you can have the mentality what is needed for success. And obviously David Goggins has it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you remember any time like thinking of this 40% rule and applying it?
Yeah, when I work out I do actually. I mean, when your body gives up, when the lactic acid builds up and your body just can't do any other push-up, even though your mind is very strong. Okay, I think at that time I would say I take like breaks for 5 minutes and then afterwards I complete the last rep what I had to do.
Yeah.
But still there's, I would say, a certain like limit for human potential or human, I would say, limit. Okay, to just exercise. I would say if Goggins didn't have the physical barrier, he would just run like crazy until he dies.
Yeah,
I would say that. Yeah, and just like Joe Rogan says, okay, when they are very too competitive, I would say, like, you know, one is David Goggins, the other is a very competitive man, or we can say just another second David Goggins. If you, what do you think will happen if you make David Goggins run against himself? Either one of them will die, but they won't like just give up.
Yeah.
In them. Okay. So I think basically, and he has one. What is the name? Rhabdomyolysis. So what this basically means is, you know, when your body gives up and the muscle tissues break down and release a protein called myoglobin in the blood. Okay, which damages, like, obviously it eventually damages your kidneys. So he had it when he did the second attempt for the pull-ups challenge. So he wanted to break the world record for pull-ups, and in the second attempt he had rhabdomyolysis. So it is very horrible. But his mind didn't give up until his body gave up.
Yeah.
So I think that is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And when we are talking about this, so even this is the world record, and when he was running, he often referred to something called a cookie jar.
Cookie jar.
Cookie jar is basically he reaching out in his mind, looking for something that is accomplished by him before, and he just uses that I have done that, so I definitely can do this.
For example, he lost like 106 pounds in 3 months for the same game. He has undergone 18 weeks of CrossFit training.
Yeah. Nobody else can, and what if is a huge question that he used to ask. Right, so basically I can, so who would ever think that somebody can lose 100 pounds in 3 months?
Yeah.
So what if I can do it? What if was a massive question that he asked himself, and that is why he tried to overcome all his mental things.
Yeah.
So whenever, so I was playing my NASA's tournaments after just, I think, a couple of days after I read this book, right?
Okay.
So I think I was down for 4-1 in the second set, and I did not know where to go from here.
Okay.
So I started thinking of what would Goggins do in this moment. So I started talking to myself. I started saying, can't hurt board crew too. And this was, I don't think it meant anything to anybody else other than me. I started thinking of what Goggins would do. I started thinking of what is my cookie jar? Where is my cookie jar? How can I reach it? And then I actually reached there. And then I started thinking, yeah, in the last match I had come back from 4-1. Definitely this I can do. I've been training so hard for 1 year, 1.5 years. I've been training more than anybody I know. So definitely I can do this. I can come back. So I started taking one point at a time. I started keeping the belief. And then I came back from the 4-1 down to 7-5. I won the set.
Oh,
so I... Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a very good example of, if you actually believe it and you think of about it, and you can apply books like these in your real life, and I think it is massive that you can do that. These are called mental models and mental barriers that you think that you cannot come back from 4-1. That is a barrier because you have seen that many times happen.
Right.
So people who are 4-1 down, they lose. That does not mean you have to lose.
Sure.
That means they lost. But your brain has such a strong correlation part that it just thinks that, yeah, people who are 4-1 down, they will lose. There's no way that they can win.
Yes.
So that is how you break. So these are the concepts in which you can break these mental barriers, I think.
Yes.
So in this book, I think these are the major things that I have learned, I have applied in my life.
Yes.
So are there any...
For me, I would say the most important lesson that I got from this is, obviously we have talked about this in the other podcasts also, based upon the Atomic Habits book review. which is you deem to have an identity-based approach.
Yeah.
So how Goggins sees it is, he's doing it for the mind, not for the body.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you can do 3,000 push-ups also. It is nice in a day. You can do 3,000 push-ups. But he isn't result-based. If you see his body, he looks like a... You know, the body which you or me can achieve in like 1 year of, like, I would say, like, well-planned gymming.
Yeah.
Okay, for 1 year. But his body is not like, there are two forms basically of training. Also, you're training your muscle. One is hypertrophy, and like, basically what it is, like, repetitions, okay? Maximum amount of repetitions, and the other one is one is based upon how much load you carry, and one is based upon how many times rep you do. How many reps you do.
Yeah.
So I would say Goggins has developed a mindset what I would think about, like how we talked about this in the earlier also, is mental fortitude, and combined with mental fortitude, the mental callousing also, which basically means he has done something for so long, it has calloused his mind in such a way that it becomes the new normal, the new standard for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and once you have these mental calluses, right, you cannot fall off the cliff, because so just like calluses on our hands, they just don't disappear the next day.
Yeah.
Even for them to disappear, it takes time. So. Whenever I am very always I'm thinking about, yeah, I can do this for 1 month.
Okay.
And then from the next day, if I become extremely lazy, what then? So how do we break this is by having this mental callus. How do we have this mental callus is by doing what is irritating, what we don't like. And Goggins puts it very well that I do this just because of my mind. I want to be comfortable. I want to keep myself in sane.
Okay.
Not insane, sane. So I think that is massive, and that is what I've learned from this book, that you cannot just get rid of callous brain. You have to, it takes a lot of time for it to go away, but I think
is the main motivation behind it? Like callousing your mind. Getting to a reputation that seems unnecessary
or something. No. So I think, let's say in this pandemic, right? So if you have a calloused mind, then you can sustain all of this shit. Because staying alone is not easy. Staying home all day is not easy. Being productive in all of this is not easy. It is times like these that need a calloused brain.
Yeah.
Whenever I think about it, is like I want to have a fitter body. I want to be stronger, not because I can win thousands of matches or earn money, but because if there's a burning house and there's a person stuck inside, I should be the one running inside, bringing that person back. I should be able to take that responsibility. And people can just stand, and I think it is completely on my personality that I like to be that person. I don't like to be the person who is dependent on somebody or who does something just for the money or something else.
Yes.
And I think Goggins could understand what I'm saying.
If I had to summarize Goggins in one single quote, I would say his mentality. I would say he was his reason is based upon the quote which goes like this, okay? Which says, it is a shame for a man to grow old without knowing or getting to his full potential of his mind and his body.
Yeah. I think that honestly is...
He never stops, bro. I would say, after everything in the end he says, okay, there is no finish line for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does he mean by no finish line is until today, okay? In this moment when we are recording podcast, he might be running 7 miles per day.
Yeah.
He is running 7 miles per day. This is very normal day for him.
Yeah, and I'm following him on Twitter, and I see him talking to the camera. I see him working so hard.
Yeah.
And that is what keeps me believe that, yeah, working hard will get me somewhere.
Yeah,
because when it gets hard, it gets very hard, you know. you start thinking, yeah, that guy did not work hard, then too he got what I wanted.
Okay.
How is it possible, man? But people like Goggins keep faith in the process. Make us keep faith in the process.
Correct.
And we feel like, yeah, I think so he has done it, maybe I can do it too. And then you start working harder. And so
it also goes along with one thing that I see. You know Jocko Willings, okay?
Yeah.
He posts 4:30 morning pictures every day of his watch saying 4:30
yeah,
every
yeah.
day on Instagram.
Yeah.
It means he's owning the day for him.
Yeah.
It means he's having a boost of the start for himself.
Yeah.
Which powers him to which encourages him to like do other things in the same manner for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Jocko Willink, I think he had come a couple of times on Joe Rogan, and I think I've also read his book. So it's an incredible book.
Extreme Ownership.
Yeah. So yeah, this is I think this is one of the best books, and I think everybody should give it a read.
Yes.
Any ending thoughts?
I would say this is not only for the people who seem it, who like look at the book around like on a physical attribute perspective. Okay, it is not just for the, you know, it is not just a motivation for any fat or obese guy to go into the gym and work out. It is for every one of us who is mentally what you can say, hasn't unlocked that potential, you know, mental potential.
Yeah.
I believe like nobody can do it until I would say
it comes from within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the motivation has to be from the within. More than motivation, I think it is about recognition that you aren't on your 100% full efficiency or potential.
Yeah,
and just you have to embrace it and just lock on to the. You can just strive to be on the next level.
And you have to figure out. So I think about this myself. How do I become a better person tomorrow?
Okay.
By being kinder, by being more honest, by being a few things. So I don't think these things are mentioned in the book, but this mentality, this ruthless mentality. So if you are being kind, that does not mean you are being less ruthless. You can be ruthlessly kind. So you don't allow, let's say for example, if somebody comes begging for something, so rather than saying that why should I give this person something, I start thinking as if I cannot get this opportunity of serving this guy again.
Okay.
So this is the shift in mentality that I found in myself.
Yeah.
And I really liked how it is just still evolving on me. The book is still growing on me. I'm still thinking about the book and how this how this has come. Like, so I have read this book very, I think, in a great sequence, because just before pandemic I finished this book, I think. And I feel that it was very important for me to understand that there is potential and there are bad times. So pandemic is a horrible time to be alive, honestly. So
really,
yeah,
I would say pandemic is obviously like for the whole world it is a negative factor, but individually if you come to it, okay, I think this is the best time for self development.
Yeah,
personal growth.
That's what this mentality has to come, right?
Yeah,
you cannot just have this from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So for people to come to this mentality, they have to go through shit.
Yes, yes, yes.
And have that mental callus. And then they can come to this conclusion that yeah, I can improve myself, I can do this, I can do that, I have so much time. So I think for the world, I think pandemic is
the worst thing that can happen in 2020. No doubt. But
so,
on a personal level and what you can do sitting at home,
yeah,
personal growth is, and personal development is the best thing.
So We'll end it here. We hope that you have liked this episode of the Can't Hurt Me book. I think you'll give it a read. I think you'll like what you have seen, and you can even maybe reach out to us, tell us what you feel about the book, and then we can have a conversation about it because we love the book.
Yeah.
So till next time, we'll see you. Bye.
Okay, nice. Bye-bye.